is that Namo Dasa. Namo Dasa Bhagavado Arahado Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Dasa Bhagavado Arahado Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Dasa Bhagavado Arahado Sama Sambuddhasa. Before Dhamma talk starts, we renew our eight precepts. So please bring your eight precept sheets tomorrow. Yesterday, I explained to you how a meditator can develop his insight and rightly understand the characteristics of the existence and put an end to suffering, the cessation of the suffering. In that talk, the first form, and explain you the suffering and its a cause. When does suffering arise? Suffering arises because of defilements, mental defilements, such as greed, desire, craving, lust, love, attachment, anger, hatred, aversion, ill will, conceit, and so on. When we are able to abandon these mental defilements, eliminate them, we can attain the cessation of the suffering and live in peace and happiness. Then, what is the cause of these defilements, mental defilements, mental impurities? The cause of these mental defilements and mental impurities is the idea of a person, a being, a self or a soul, or partner belief. This is called Sakaya Diti and Adi Diti in Pali. When does this idea or concept of person or being, self or soul arises? Because we do not rightly understand the intrinsic nature of a bodhiman process and its true nature. When this bodily and mental phenomena is misunderstood, then we take them to be a person, a being, a self or a soul, a man or a woman. If we rightly understand this a dual process of a mental and physical phenomena as just a natural process of a mentality and physicality, which are ever changing, arising and passing away, we won't take them to be a person, a being, a man or a woman itself also. Then why do not we rightly understand this dual process of mental and physical phenomena? Because we do not pay attention to what's happening to our body and mind as it really occurs. We do not work because we do not watch body-mind process as it really is. Because we are not mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. So we do not rightly understand this nama, mental phenomenon, and rupa, physical phenomenon, and their true nature. Then we take both of them to be a person, a being, a self or a soul. In this way, the idea of personality, individuality, self or soul arises dependent on ignorance of bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. So when we want to realize or rightly understand the nature of this body and mind, we have to develop mindfulness of a body-mind process. When the mindfulness of a body-mind process is well developed, well cultivated, then our mind will be deeply concentrated on each mental state or physical process which is observed. Then we will be able to come to rightly understand the specific or individual characteristics and general or common characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena. Then we do identify this dual process with a person, a being, a self or a soul, a man or a woman. Then the idea or the round view of a personality, individuality, self or soul has been removed by right understanding or realization of a bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature. When this idea of person or being, self or soul has been removed, there won't arise any mental defilements or mental impurities which are the causes of a suffering. So when there is no mental defilement, there is no suffering at all. Then we are liberated from all kinds of suffering, emancipated from all kinds of suffering. In this way, we can live in peace and happiness. So, the what is we should do, what we should do is to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena and their true nature by being mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. We are in this way of eliminating the idea of a personality, individuality, and eradicating mental defilements and attaining the cessation of the suffering. We need fight mental faculties strong enough and kept in balance. Those are strong faith, strenuous real effort, continuous and constant mindfulness, clear and penetrating insight, sadda, siddhi, viriya, samadhi, panya. These are the five mental faculties which a meditator must be endowed with. He must be possessed of these five mental faculties, which are strong, sharp, keen, and kept in balance. When faith is strong in the technique of a meditation or the teaching of the Buddha, meditator put enough effort in the practice day and night. When his effort is strong enough, strenuous enough, then his mindfulness becomes continuous, constant and sustained for some period of time or longer period of time. When the mindfulness becomes constant and continuous, the mind becomes deeply concentrated on each mental state or physical process which is observed. With that deep concentration, the panya, we call it in Pali, insight, becomes a penetrating. So it penetrates into the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. What is the true nature of mental and physical phenomena? Specific characteristics and general characteristics of a body mind process. So, to have the penetrating insight into phenomena, we need some degree of a concentration, some reasonable degree of a concentration. To have this type of a concentration, we need our deed and speech purified. Purification of a deed and speech means a purification of a moral conduct. To purify one's own moral conduct, the Buddha laid down the precepts to observe, such as 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 9 precepts, 10 precepts, and 227 precepts of the Bhikkhu. When we observe the precepts fully, our deed and speech, our moral conduct, is purified. Purification of a moral conduct is very much conducive to the attainment of a deep concentration. So, to obtain deep concentration, we need our moral conduct purified. By fully observing the precepts, especially 8 precepts. When we observe the 8 precepts, our moral conduct is purified, and we have ample time to devote our meditation to devote our ample time to meditation, because we need not use our precious time for our dinner, the cooking of dinner, preparing of dinner, to have dinner is to waste a lot of precious time for meditation. So when we observe 8 precepts, we need not have to have our dinner. So we have ample time for our meditation. And also, we decrease our tanha, desire or attachment to the dinner, because we know if we fully observe the 8 precepts, we are not allowed by the precepts to take any substantial food after middle day, from the noon to the dawn next day. And between these 2 periods, we are not allowed to take any substantial food. Keeping our mind this, we have no intention to take any dinner. So we have no desire or attachment to our dinner. Maybe because of a habit, you may have some light or little bit desire for dinner when the time's up, but this can be overcome by noting it attentively. This desire can be overcome by noting it attentively. When the desire has disappeared, no problem at all. That's why we have to observe 8 precepts. both for purification of a moral conduct and having ample time for our meditation, decreasing our desire for dinner. So we can say not decreasing, eliminating our desire for dinner. When you are continuously mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind, in sitting, in walking, in daily activity, your mind is quite occupied with mindfulness. So it hasn't any time to pay attention to the dinner. So there won't arise any attachment or desire for dinner. But if you are not able to observe daily activity such as bending of the arms, stretching of the arms, sitting down, getting up from the seat, taking food, taking breath, dressing, undressing, and so on. But there may be very big gaps, unmindful gaps between previous mindfulness and the following ones. Then, in between these two mindfulness, you have no mindfulness at all. So your mind may be occupied with defilement such as desire for dinner, attachment to some sweets and so on. So if you are able to observe all actions and movements and your daily routine continuously, constantly, without failure, slowing out all actions and movements, more and more, observing the actions and movements and more detail, there won't be any gap in between the previous mindfulness and the following one. Mindfulness becomes constant, disinterrupted. Then you don't have any desire or attachment for your dinner. In this way, this mental impurity, desire, craving, or attachment can be overcome by observing it, by noting it as it is. So, here what I want to point out is the observance of the precepts is prerequisite or basic requirement for a meditator to obtain deep concentration. Because when you do not observe the precepts, your deed and speech may not be purified. The deed and speech may get defiled with the impurities of the mind. Then, when your deed and speech is not purified, you feel guilty conscience about this deed and speech. That guilty conscience is it the cause of our unhappiness? When the mind becomes unhappy and agitated, then it can be concentrated on any object of meditation. Any mental traits or physical process which are observed. When your conscience is clear, with the fully observance of the precepts, then you feel happy, rapture, joyous. Then you feel serenity, tranquility. These good mental states are the causes of deep concentration. With happy mind, meditator can concentrate his mind well on the object of meditation. So the observance of the precept is the cause of a concentration. Because the mind becomes clear by observing the precepts, purify deed and speech. If he recollects his deed and speech, easy it is purified without any sins or offense. So he is elated, he is happy. And with that happiness, if he try to focus the mind on any object of meditation, then the mind becomes gradually concentrated on the object which is observed. That's why we need to fully observe the precepts, so that we can concentrate our mind well on the object of meditation. Either object of samatha or vipassana meditation. When the mind is purified, when the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental state or physical process which is observed, it's a purified form. Defilements, hindrances. So it becomes a calm, tranquil, serene. Then there arises the insight because of a deep concentration. There arises the insight. That insight penetrates into the true nature of bodhisattva process. So here, in pure vipassana meditation, momentary concentration is called citta visuddhi. Momentary concentration here means because meditator has many varieties of mental states or physical process to observe. So the note in mind concentrated itself on a object momentarily. When that object has disappeared, it takes another object and concentrates on it. Then it concentrates with it for a moment. when that object has disappeared, it takes another object and stays with it for a moment. In this way, the mind becomes concentrated on each object of a mental state or physical process momentarily. So it's called the momentary concentration. For instance, when the abdomen rises, you note it as rising, being aware of the rising movement. Then the mind is concentrated on the process of rising movement. When the rising movement stops, there arises a falling movement. Then you note the falling. The mind being aware of the falling process and stay with it for a moment. When the falling movement has disappeared or stopped, then there arises a rising movement, and the mind takes the rising movement as its object and concentrate on it for some moments. When the rising movement stopped, then the mind takes a falling process as the object of meditation, stay with it for a moment. In this way, the note in mind concentrates by itself on each object of meditation momentarily. But even though it takes the object momentarily, it concentrates on any object of meditation one after another without disruption, continuously, constantly, one object after another, the mind is concentrated very well. So, if the mind is concentrated momentarily on each object of meditation, it becomes, the concentration becomes stronger and powerful, because there is no interruption between the two objects, the previous object and the following one. As soon as the first object disappeared, the mind takes the following one very instantly and concentrate on it. It's very evident when you walk. When you walk, you focus your mind on each movement of the foot. When the foot is lifted, the mind notes as lifting and being aware of that lifting movement. When the lifting movement has stopped, then the mind takes pushing forward movement as the object of meditation and concentrate on it. When the pushing has ended, then the dropping movement is the object of meditation, the mind concentrate on it. When the dropping has stopped, there is a touching, the mind takes it as the object and concentrate on it. After that, you press the front foot, then the mind concentrate on the pressure. In this way, the concentration of the mind on the each object of meditation is not disrupted, not interrupted. It becomes a continuous, a constant, observing one object after another. So it becomes powerful. So in this way, momentary concentration becomes stronger and powerful. So the mind is purified by means of this momentary concentration. need purified mind to attain the clear and penetrating insight. If the mind is defiled, especially with the anger or distraction, restlessness, or sloth and torpor, sleepiness, mental sluggishness, the mind gets dirty with these defilements, there cannot arise any insight in defiled mind. So meditator is unable to rightly understand any mental process or physical phenomena. That's why we need purified mind or pure mind, purity of a mind, or purification of a mind. So purification of a mind can arise depending on deep concentration. At the moment of deep concentration, the mind is purified from defilements and hindrances. Then the insight that arises together with this purified mind becomes penetrating and realizes either specific characteristics or general characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena. Before the insight realizes the two characteristics, first of all, when concentration is deep enough and the mind is purified to a large extent, it realizes mental process and physical process differently. In other words, the insight differentiates between mental phenomenon and physical phenomena. For example, we observe rising and falling movement of the abdomen. In the beginning of the practice, we do not realize when the mind goes out or wanders and thinks about something else. We think our mind is concentrating on rising and falling movement. But actually, the mind very often goes out, wanders and thinks, imagining and so on. But later on, when we are able to concentrate on rising and falling movement to a certain extent, when the mind goes off the track or the object, we come to realize it not as soon as it arises, but we realize it on the halfway. Sometimes we realize it when the wandering mind has it finished. But whatever it may be, whenever we realize this, the mind which is wandering or thinking, at that moment, we have to, we must observe the mind, we must watch the mind, we must note the mind which is wandering, thinking, imagining, as noting, as thinking, thinking, imagining, imagining, wandering, wandering. Attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. If the noting mind is a slow, weak, not attentive enough. The thinking process keeps going on. Sometimes the noted mind is absorbed into thought process. That's because the noted mind is weak, not attentive enough. So when we observe or watch or note any mental states or emotional states arising at this moment, our noted mind should be attentive enough, energetic enough, somehow quick, so that the noted mind becomes more and more powerful. Then the powerful noted mind overwhelms the thinking process, imagination, or seeing mental images. It overwhelms this thought process, so the process stops in a short time. Then meditator realizes thinking mind, wandering mind, or thought process is not everlasting entity. It arises, then it stops, it disappears. But there may be another new thought process arising. You note it. Thinking, thinking, wandering, wandering, imagining, imagining. Then that process, that thought process also has disappeared. After thought process has disappeared, you return to the primary object, note as usual. That's the rise and fall in movement. In this way, this distraction, thinking, wondering, imagining, can be overcome by noted mind, which is attentive, energetic, and somewhat quick enough. Then at the same moment, we have two benefits out of this noting of mental, the distraction, imagination, planning, and so on. When we note thinking, thinking, wondering, wondering, imagining, imagining, attentively, energetically, somewhat quickly, the noted mind becomes more and more powerful. Then it overwhelms the thought process, and then the process stops in a short time. Then here we get two benefits. One is we realize the mind is not a permanent thing. The mind is not everlasting entity. It is subject to rising and passing away. So now I do not see it any longer at this moment. The mind is thoroughly realized by the meditator. That's the first benefit. The second benefit is because there's no thought at all, the noted mind can be concentrated on primary object or any object of mental states or physical process of the world. So concentrations becomes deeper, stronger. So we get these two benefits out of a noting of thinking mind, wandering mind, imagining, and so on. and Vipassana meditation to note or to observe or to watch any mental states or emotional states. Mental states such as a thought, idea, opinion, mental images. Emotional states such as anger, sadness, worry, sorrow, and so on are very much important. The first important factor to make progress in meditation. Meditation, especially Vipassana meditation, is mental training or mental development. So to know, to observe, to watch these mental states, thinking, wondering, imagining, planning, are the most important factor to make progress and concentration as well as insight. So in this way, the mind becomes more and more concentrated on the movement of the abdomen, perceiving the actual movement of rising and the actual movement of falling very clearly, distinctly. So, first of all, the concentrated mind distinguishes between the two processes of rising movement and falling movement. When he notes rising, then he knows the end of rising movement and the beginning of rising movement. When the movement rises, he knows. Then when it's going on, he knows it. Then when the movement stops, he knows it. In this way, the concentrated mind notes the beginning, the middle, and the end of rising movement, the same way falling movement. The concentrated mind knows the beginning of a falling process, the middle and end of it. In this way, he differentiates rising process and falling process as the two separate processes of a physical phenomena. He can clearly realize that these are two processes, rising and falling. So he come to realize that these two processes are just movements. Sometimes he is not aware of the form of the abdomen, lost the sense of the abdomen. He may feel or realize just a movement, rising movement and falling movement. It's called meditator distinguishes physical phenomena, the two processes of a physical phenomena. It's called a rupa pricchita jnana, the analytical knowledge of a physical phenomena. But later on, he comes to distinguish between physical phenomena and mental phenomena. When he notes arising, he clearly see the rising movement is a one process. The mind that notes it, the other process. The two processes of rising movement and noting mind are not one and the same. They are the two separate processes of mental phenomena and physical phenomena. He came to rightly understand it. In the same way, he knows the falling movement as one process and the mind that knows it the other process. In this way, the two processes of nama and rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena, are distinguished by the meditator very clearly. And at that stage of experience, the right experience of meditator, he has no idea of I or you, a person or being, a man or a woman. What he is realizing at that moment is rising movement and the mind that notes it, falling movement that the mind notes it. In this way, one process after another, the mind notes and he distinguishes the two separate phenomena, mental and physical phenomena. So, he do not identify the rising and falling movement with a person, or an I know a mind. He does not identify the noting mind that notes the processes with a person, a being, itself also, because he, through his own personal experience, realizes these are the two processes of natural process of physical phenomenon and mental phenomena. So he doesn't take them to be a person, a being, or an I, or a you, a me, or a mine. Here, the right understanding of the two separate processes of a mental and physical phenomena removes the idea of a person, a being, itself also. In this way, the right view of a personality, individuality, self also, regarding these two processes of rise and fall, is eliminated by right understanding of the phenomena. So, right understanding of these two processes of rising and falling enable a meditator to remove the wrong view of a person or being, self or soul. Then there is no mental defilement arising, because their base has been destroyed by right understanding. Their base is the wrong view of a person or being, self or soul. And then this is called the insight knowledge of discerning nama and rupa. Or we can say this is the analytical knowledge of nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena. But we need not make any effort to analyze it, but mindfulness and concentration combined and analyze it naturally by themselves. So this is called analytical knowledge of mind and body, nama and rupa. If at this stage that That round view of a person or being self also has been eliminated, eradicated, purified. So it's a called purification of a view. The view is purified, so because the meditator has no view of a person or being self or soul. This is called the purification of a view. But here, the more the deeper concentration becomes, and the clearer and the more penetrating insight is, then the insight of knowledge realizes specific characteristics of wind or air element. When we observe the rising and falling movement, or when we observe the lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, and pressing of the foot and walking. When the mind is well concentrated on each process of arising and falling, then it realizes the falling as a series of movement, arising as a series of broken movement. These are just movements. When the mind becomes more and more deeply concentrated, the penetrating insight sees the movements clearer and clearer. So when the rising, the abdomen rises, what meditator sees just movements without the form of the abdomen. When it falls, then meditators experience just movements without the form of the abdomen. In this way, what we realize at that moment is outward movements and inward movements, upward movement and downward movements. The whole process consists in a series of movements. You come to realize these movements expands gradually, then contracts gradually, moves forward gradually, and moves inward gradually. So meditator realizes these wind element, the characteristic of a wind element or air element, if he has some knowledge of these characteristics. But whether he can name it or not, it does matter. What is the matter, what's the needed is to know these movements as a natural process of movements which are arising one after another. Without without being aware of the form of the abdomen or the form of the body. At that time, he lost the sense of self or person or being, because he is rightly understanding the two processes of rising and falling movement as just a series of disconnected movements, one after another. So that realization, that right understanding, removes the idea of a person of being self or soul, which is the cause of a defilement. So in this way, observing rise and fall and move very carefully and attentively, meditator can rightly understand and remove the idea of a person of being self or soul. The same with the other movement too. Such as bending of the arms, stretching of the arms, putting down the arms, stretching, lifting the arms in the same way, bending of the legs, stretching of the legs, and moving here and there, swaying of the body, getting up from the seat, sitting down. These are movements. These are composed of a series of movements which are rising in the same way. If your concentrations deep enough on these actions and movements and the daily routine, you are able to realize them. These are just movements, nothing but movements, natural process of movements. Then you don't take them to be a person, a man or a woman. Then the right understanding of these movements and the daily routine also enabled a meditator to remove the idea of a person of being self or soul. So what you need is to observe, to watch, to be mindful of whatever arises in your mind and body very attentively, precisely and closely, so that your concentration becomes deeper and deeper, your inside knowledge becomes clearer and penetrating, and realizes the phenomenon as it is. May all of you rightly understand the technique of this meditation, strive your best to remove the idea of a person, a being, and eliminate defilements and attain the cessation of suffering.